Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about Minnesota's Veterans Wildlife Project and discover programs to help the children of today's service members. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
21 years ago this week, the Gulf War began. You may remember it had been more than 5 months since Iraq invaded Kuwait. The UN's deadline for their withdrawal was looming. The deadline, January 15th, 1991, passed without change, and war broke out within 24 hours. The United States, Great Britain, France, Italy, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait succeeded in liberating Kuwait with a devastating US-led air campaign. It lasted slightly more than a month. The air campaign was followed by an invasion of Kuwait and Iraq by ground forces. With their superior speed, mobility, and firepower, the Allied forces overwhelmed the Iraqi forces in a campaign lasting only 100 hours. On February 26th, Saddam Hussein ordered the Iraqi withdrawal from Kuwait, and 2 days later, President Bush announced a ceasefire. Kuwait had been liberated from Iraqi occupation. Thank you to all Minnesota service members who fought in the Gulf War. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Pheasants Forever and its partners are working to develop support for the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project. The purpose of this project is to honor Minnesota's veterans and military and permanently secure a public wildlife area in honor of their service. This project is patterned after Pheasant Forever's Build a Wildlife Area campaign, which has completed 21 projects in 3 states, providing more than 5,000 acres for public use and outdoor recreation. Joining us now to discuss the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project is Joe Dugan, Vice President, Corporate Relations, Pheasants Forever, Inc., and Quail Forever. Joe, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to talking about this upcoming project.
Well, Joe, before we get to that, can you explain to our listeners, Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, how long you've been around and what's your mission?
Yes. Well, being that Pheasants Forever was started and was born here in the Twin Cities, I'm hoping a lot of listeners know, but Pheasants Forever is a national wildlife conservation group. We work with farmers and ranchers across the Pheasant Range and the Quail Range to do good things for wildlife. We also work with the DNRs, the Fish and Wildlife Service. The types of projects we do are restorations of wildlife habitat, prairie grass, wetlands. We get oftentimes involved with land acquisitions that permanently secure wildlife habitat, and that's kind of what we're looking forward to do with this Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project.
Joe, is it true that our pheasant population was under some pretty severe pressure and that it's come back in the last, 30 years or so?
Well, that's why Pheasants Forever got started it started in the 80s, 83. In fact, we're coming up on our 30th anniversary here, and we're going to have a big celebration about a month from now in downtown Minneapolis. But the numbers had, from response from increased pressures from farming and development, weather conditions, bird numbers were extremely low, and there was a group of folks in St. Paul and Minneapolis that thought that we should try to do something, and it was Pheasants Forever was born. The unique thing about Pheasants Forever, Tom, that I think really has made a big difference and has stood out from other organizations is our local chapters. We're organized much like a lot of the other conservation groups, but our local chapters, be it in St. Cloud or Worthington or Jackson, Minnesota, put on local fundraisers. But the money they raise, except for a membership to Pheasants Forever, stays with that chapter, and they have local control. So they're the guys that know who's the farmers and ranchers in the area that might be interested in doing something for wildlife habitat. They work with the local soil and water districts. They work with the DNR. And we do projects to benefit wildlife and pheasants. And with some some program changes in the federal government CRP and some other things that you may be aware of, but it's done a lot to restore wildlife, and pheasant numbers have grown. We're looking at some upcoming issues, but that's why we're here.
We're speaking with Joe Dugan, Vice President Corporate Relations from Pheasants Forever, Inc. on Minnesota Military Radio. Joe, how many chapters do you have, and how widespread is Pheasants Forever?
In Minnesota, we have 70 chapters. In the nation, we have 700. There are Pheasants Forever members in every state of the union, and we've got chapters in about 40 states. And we're looking to, and we continue to grow. We're about 135,000 members. Our headquarters is over in the Badness Heights area, St. Paul. And it started right there in St. Paul, and we've continued to grow. And we do a lot of great things. I started as a volunteer. I went to a couple banquets. Someone said to me how this organization works with the chapter focus, the grassroots focus on doing wildlife habitat projects. And I got involved, and now 20-some years later, I'm the Vice President of Corporate Relations, and I work with people like you and a lot of others to do more good things for pheasants and wildlife.
Just never know what's going to happen, do you, Joe? Now, I know the local chapters do a lot of fundraising. I think my family even owns a couple of paintings and things that we bought at fundraisers. But you said the local chapters, when they do their fundraisers, the money, most of the money stays right with them. How do they use it to improve the habitat in their locale?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I'll give you a couple examples. Chapters may contact a local farmer. A farmer or rancher may come to them. A DNR official or Soil and Water District, somebody says, hey, we need a little money to put this, do this wetland restoration. We need some funding to plant some prairie, restore prairie. So we put up some cost share. We work with other government agencies oftentimes to get, there's match. There's a lot of good conservation programs the USDA has and the state has. So it's kind of a real partnership type effort, and we collaborate together and raise funds, and projects get done. And in a typical year, we do like 20 some thousand acres of projects across the pheasant range, and that's a lot of stuff going on.
So you work closely with the federal and state agencies such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the DNR?
Yes, all the time. Minnesota DNR, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Wisconsin DNR, on it goes. We work very closely with them. Lots of times agencies can do great things, but sometimes having local folks that have intimate knowledge of the land or their neighbors or local farmers that have an interest can get things done that sometimes a government agency may not be able to do. And that partnership, a unique partnership, really brings a lot to bear in getting a lot of good things done.
And Joe, we mentioned at the opening that you've done 21 projects in three states, providing more than 5,000 acres for public use, what you call a Build a Wildlife Area campaign. Can you explain that to us briefly? We've just got a couple of minutes before we have to go to break.
Yeah, the Build a Wildlife Area campaign was launched about 9-10 years ago. It's we do a lot of land acquisitions as part of what we do. We work with agencies. One of the things that we wanted to do was really focus on and get a fundraising campaign off the ground. We worked with, in this case, some of the local newspapers, with the Outdoor News, Gander Mountain, and others. And there was some challenge grant money that was put up. We said, let's see if we can do a fundraiser. We call it Build a Wildlife Area. And so every year since then, we've done this Build a Wildlife Area campaign. We raise funds, and at the end of the time period, we get our money together. We talk to our friends at the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Minnesota DNR or both. And then we go out and identify a great public wildlife area, and we acquire it, and it becomes a public land open to public use. And it's there forever for everybody to enjoy.
And in one case or another, you turn it back to either the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the DNR to manage the property forward?
Yeah, the land goes. We typically do the acquisition. Pheasants Forever does the spade work on getting negotiations done, the legal work, the et cetera, and then it gets turned over to the Fish and Wildlife Service for the Minnesota DNR, and it remains a public property forever.
Joe, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project. We've been speaking with Joe Dugan, Vice President of Corporate Relations from Pheasants Forever on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Joe Dugan, Vice President of Corporate Relations from Pheasants Forever, Inc., about the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project. Joe, we talked a little bit about Pheasants Forever and where it is, how long you've been, 30 years. Wow, where did that time go? And your Build a Wildlife Area campaign. Now you've got a more specific campaign for Minnesota called Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project. How did that come to pass, and how is it different from your other campaigns?
Well, Tom, as Pheasants Forever, you know, we reach out to the public all the time. We're engaged in a lot of different ways. A lot of our chapters, a lot of our members have felt it's important to recognize and show tribute to our military veterans and active duty military servicemen and women. And that includes oftentimes inviting them to banquets and events and taking them hunting, doing a variety of things like that. This past summer and fall, a few of us started talking about what is most meaningful, what should we be doing. Well, we have this program called Build a Wildlife Area Campaign, which is a fundraising campaign to raise funds to purchase a public wildlife area. And we thought, you know, that's what we're in business to do. We're in business as an organization to create habitat, to create places for wildlife, to restore habitat. And we try to do that in a way that leaves a permanent mark on the landscape for people to enjoy. And we thought, well, why don't we do that? And when we do these acquisitions, when we buy land, you know, oftentimes there's a name for that land. It could be the Tom Lyons Wildlife Area or the Joe Dugan Wildlife Area. But this is, we thought, let's name it the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area, and let's draw some attention to the and tribute to the service that these folks have provided to us. And so hence the name is the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area. We're in the process of raising funds. We're working with the DNR, Fish and Wildlife Service. We're going to identify a site. And in the coming months, when we have the funds put together, we're going to acquire that land, and we're going to have a new public wildlife area. It's going to be called the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area.
So I would guess you don't know how big it's going to be or where it's going to be yet. It's going to depend on how much grant money you can find and how much money you raise privately.
We have some grant funds in place already. We have some commitments in place already, some financial commitments. In the coming weeks and months, we're going to be going at it much more. There's a organization, Twin Cities, Apple Auto Group. It's a car dealership in the Shakopee and Apple Valley area. They've already made a substantial financial commitment. ATK, Federal Cartridge Corporation in the Anoka area, they're stepping up. They're going to do some things. We've got several others that will be, and we're hoping to secure. So
you're looking for corporate sponsors and individual sponsors?
Corporate and individual sponsors, both. And as to where it's going to be, Tom, we're going to be, like I said, we're going to work with the Fish and Wildlife Service. We're going to identify a site. The type of place we're looking for is maybe it's got some prairie, it's got a wetland that's either existing or can be restored. It's going to have a lot of the elements that'll make an ideal wildlife area, and we'll purchase it. We'll restore those prairies. We'll restore the wetlands, given the situation. A neat thing that we do, Tom, is after the project's been identified and purchased, we have a dedication, and we'll invite the people that have been donors and supporters to attend the event, and it's always a great time. One of the neat things that we also do is we'll put up a granite monument on the site. The granite monument will have the names of the donors and supporters and the corporate partners that get involved on that granite monument, and their names will be there in perpetuity.
So you're out now looking for the chapters to help and individuals to help and corporate sponsors. And if anyone wants to learn about the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area Project, where do they go?
We have a website, pheasantsforever.org, and there's a link to that which will provide information on how to get involved in the Veterans Wildlife Area Project if you want to donate or support. Or, you know, we need the arms and legs of folks out there to talk to folks, we'd love to do one of these, and maybe if we do enough, we can do two or three. We'll have one in each corner of the state.
So once again, if you're interested in helping support this project, you can go to pheasantsforever.org, or you can go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and we'll have a link to that website on that page. So, Joe, back to the process. You're out raising money and for a great cause. It's going to be fantastic. I'd love to see that dedication and see where this is going to be. But then after you do your fundraising, then you go back to the Fish and Wildlife and the DNR and start looking through possible sites. Is that the next step?
Right. Yeah, There's a lot of properties that are, you know, it's always a dynamic situation out in the landscape, but a lot of our chapters here of things going on. Somebody's interested in selling their property, or DNR catches wind of something, and you know, there's a pretty good network of information that we receive on potential sites. It could be in southwest Minnesota, it could be northwest, it could be southeastern Minnesota. We're gonna comb the state to identify some really neat areas or areas. Maybe ideally, if we get enough funding put together, but we're gonna get a site developed and then we'll have the dedication. And you know what I feel good about, Tom, is that this is going to be a site that's going to be there forever, and it's going to be open to the public. And it's a way to also pay a lasting tribute to the veterans of Minnesota and the active duty Minnesota military servicemen and women.
It's a great cause. I'm glad you're doing it. Now, Joe, once you've found an interesting property and where you can get the most bang for your buck, and you require that property, then you've referred a couple of times to restoring the property. I would guess that means if it was used as farmland or if it was used for some other purpose and it's partially woods or partially wetland, now do you convert it back into a wildlife habitat? Is that what
happens? Yes. Happened? Yep. We'll plant prairie grass. We'll restore the wetland. Maybe we install a dike. Any number of things could happen to put it in as ideal situation as you can for pheasants, for wildlife, for deer, for ducks, for fish. We've done hundreds of projects like this, and what's really exciting is that, it was interesting to me. We got a letter from Commissioner Schellato, and I'm going to read a quote from his letter, and it says, "Many of our veterans in Minnesota enjoy hunting and fishing for recreation as well as therapy. This program will honor Minnesota's military veterans and active duty servicemen and women while preserving Minnesota's natural wildlife resources for generations to come." And you know, the what I get excited about with these land acquisitions, they're there forever, and they're going to pay dividends to people today and to generations to come. And there's going to be a granite monument on the site, and it's going to be called the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area. And if we're successful with this one, quite frankly, I'm hoping we can do several more.
I like the way you think, Joe. Now, you found the project, or part of the project is to raise money to buy the project, but the rest of it is to restore it to its suitable habitat. And once again, pheasantsforever.org, we'll have a link up on Minnesota Military Radio website. And then, so part of the money is to buy it, and part of it is to restore it. Who owns the project going forward? Does that depend on who you're working with, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife or
yes,
the DNR?
Yes, yeah. It really can't. We work with both of them. And so at this juncture, I don't know for sure which agency will be the ultimate partner that will hold the land in perpetuity. But kind of depending on the site and the service has its priorities in certain regions of the state, and so does the DNR. And each of them are very interested in working with us. In fact, we've gotten letters of support from the Minnesota DNR as well as the Fish and Wildlife Service kind of endorsing this project and saying that they will provide the help and the assistance to help get this thing done.
So a key part of this is that they maintain the property going forward. They take title to it. They agree to take care of it because it's different from just having a person own it because
right.
People reach an end. But the DNR and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Care will be there to own that property forever.
It'll be there forever, and it'll be managed and open to public use. And everybody in the state of Minnesota will be able to use it forever. You know, that's the neat thing to me. It's a lasting tribute to Minnesota's veterans.
Great project. If you're interested in learning more, go to pheasantsforever.org. Joe, we've just got about a minute left. I understand Pheasants Forever celebrates a big anniversary this year.
Yes, it's our 30th anniversary. Thanks for asking. On February 15, 16, and 17, down at the Minneapolis Convention Center, we have something called National Pheasant Fest. It's a big consumer show. We're going to have all kinds of neat things from wildlife conservation exhibits to bird dogs to hunting areas, you name it, anything associated with the outdoors. We're going to have a great big show, and we're going to celebrate our 30th anniversary. And in addition, Tom, we're going to have a booth there, the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area booth, and we're going to have some information, and we're going to be talking to folks and hopefully gaining more support for this project, both financially and from moral support. It's always a big partnership, and takes a lot of people to make things work takes a lot of partners, so we're looking for corporate partners and individual supporters, and we'll get her done.
Once again, information on the National Pheasant Fest, February 15th, 16th, and 17th, can be found at pheasantsforever.org.
Pheasantsforever.org.
Joe, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Tom.
This is Joe Dugan, Vice President of Corporate Relations for Pheasants Forever, talking about the Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area. When we come back to Minnesota Military Radio, we're going to discover some programs to help the children of today's service members. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Fellow veterans and supporters, this is Lee Alfords, Department Commander of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, inviting you to join us for a ride for healing starting next Memorial Day. The week-long ride kicks off May 27th in St. Paul, covers the four corners of the state, and is capped off by a June 1st rally weekend in the Brainerd Lakes area. Proceeds will support the National Vietnam Veterans Memorial Education Center. For more information, visit rideforhealing.com. That's rideforhealing.com.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. The number one request of deployed soldiers, sailors, and airmen is, take care of my family. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation does just that. We take care of military families. The foundation helps military families when a family has an unexpected financial crisis. We have replaced or repaired many furnaces and appliances, as well as fixed cars to help get children to school, daycare, or the doctor. And we've paid for the transportation and lodging for the family to visit their soldier in the hospital that may be thousands of miles from home. We help military families with many types of financial needs. Military families make many sacrifices. One way you can show your appreciation and say thank you is with your financial support. Please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Another way is to buy support our troop license plates. Yes, we take care of military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to discover some programs to help the children of today's service members. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleto.
It's busy around the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as the start of the 2013 legislative session kicked off last week. For the first time since 1990, Minnesota has a one-party rule at the state capitol. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is a unique state agency because we are nonpartisan in nature. We are looking forward to building new relationships on both sides of the aisle. It is important now, more than ever, to focus on our mission and what we need to do as a department to educate our state leaders of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and how we can all work together to assist Minnesota's heroes. As a country and as a state, we have made certain commitments to our veterans. It is important that we keep good on those promises. To stay updated on both federal and state legislative updates during the session, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleto. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Now we're going to talk about the Military Kids Toolkit. Great efforts are taking place to inform educators and those involved with military youth. How can you get involved? We've got a leader from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon here to fill us in. Captain Belinsky is the State Family Programs Director for Deployment Cycle Support Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. She brought with her today Laura Grenewig, who is a Youth Programs Coordinator for the Deployment Service Support. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Captain, our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Can you tell our listeners what all is there and what is that all about?
That website has a plethora of resources. I cannot cover all of them, but I can focus on the ones that focus in on family. One of the ones that we're going to feature specifically today is a K-12 toolkit. So if you go to the website, it is a banner on the homepage. It's a blue banner. All you have to do is click on it, and that's how you can access the toolkit. And any educator or professional educator or school representative can certainly access the website. It's for military-connected youth to help them have the resources that are available to them within the school system and also outside the school system should they experience any unique needs related to deployment.
So the website, once again, is beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And if there are listeners out there that want to help our military families, they can go to that website and sign up on various pages. And if there are families and military service members that need some help, they can go to that page as well. And there's a whole list of resources and
absolutely
all kinds of help available, isn't it?
Correct. One of the things that they will find on there is called the Educator Guide, which is a collection of resources that are available throughout the state that have been vetted through our office to ensure that they are available for all military-connected youth and that they're reputable organizations to help with any of the various needs that could arise.
Now, Captain, one of the things that you've created is a military kids toolkit.
Correct.
Can you tell us why that's important and what it is?
Yes, of course. The toolkit is actually broken down into two parts. One is that educator guide, which gives the resources that are available to the professional educators and families to help support the military-connected youth. And the second part of the toolkit is actually a series of six lessons, which is curriculum that an educational professional can work through with the children at school to open the door to communication so children can help to express the emotions that they have related to the deployment and having a loved one who is overseas.
Now, Laura, you're the youth programs coordinator.
Yeah.
Now, there have been multiple deployments since 2001. Thousands and thousands of Minnesota National Guard troops have been deployed over and over again. Mm-hmm. Are our military families, are the youth in the military families, some of them experiencing some problems with all those deployments?
Yeah, while resilient, there are some issues that arise dealing with deployments for families and youth. And there are about 23,000 youth in Minnesota who have experienced a deployment over the past 12 to 13 years. And so we're just trying to help these youth deal with the stress and the anxiety that they might face and the uncertainty of having a parent deployed and in an unsafe environment.
Now, a lot of those military youth are in public schools.
Yes.
But most of the kids in the public schools don't have a parent who was deployed, so they're in a little different situation, aren't they?
They are, yes. Not all their peers quite understand exactly what they're going through by having a parent gone for an extended period of time, be it a year deployment or even their 2 weeks at annual training.
So do some of these military youth get depressed? Do they clam up? Do they talk? What kind of problems are they having?
Sometimes they have a hard time just like connecting with their peers because their peers don't understand what they're going through and they don't know how to talk about it. And they don't know who they can go to for support. And sometimes they just want to be understood and they want to fit in. And yeah, they could have that anxiety just because there's that uncertainty of where their parent is and what they're going through.
We're speaking with Captain Marion Blinsky and Laura Grenewig, the State Families Program Director and Youth Programs Director from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, we've talked a little bit about the Military Kids Toolkit. Can you tell me what it is?
Yes, the Military Kids Toolkit consists of six lessons that help the kids open up and communicate with a safe adult in a safe environment at such a school. And the lessons deal with some of the issues that would be experienced during the deployment cycle, such as changing family roles, dealing with stress, coping mechanisms, and communication, also, you know, positive thought processes, and then, of course, resilience. The children already are resilient, but they, of course, will build different resilient skills since they're in a different situation than they were prior to their loved one being deployed.
So these lessons are to help the young people to open up and talk about their concerns and questions and problems and learn how to deal with them and then carry on in society.
Exactly. And the toolkit is actually broken down into three different age groups. So we tried to ensure that the lessons were tailored to the age-appropriate level that the child would be at. So the K through 3, the 4 through 6, and the 7 through 12.
Now, Laura, I understand that does this come in the form of software that's available to help the kids, but also some materials for the school teachers if they want to help with the program?
Yes, a counselor or an educator can go online to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and register for the curriculum, and it's free. And it has, like Captain Blinsky just said, there are 6 lessons that cover deployment-related topics. And the educators can just download that curriculum free of charge.
Now, can they use it that way, or do you also have some training available for the teachers?
We do have some training available for the educators, and it's called Military Child Education Coalition, and they're able to attend a free 2-day conference. And the next one coming up is February 27th through the 28th at the Marriott Northwest in Minneapolis.
And I would guess information is available for that on our favorite website.
On our favorite website,
beyondtheyellowribbon.org. All right, so we talked about this earlier, but that training and all the materials you've got available help the teachers so that they don't have to get a lot of prep time in this, and that they understand the reasons for it and the material well enough so that they can walk the students through it. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. It gives them a little bit of that background knowledge and information so the kids feel that they're connecting and being understood, and also so that they don't have to go through this alone. And that's one of the biggest messages that we want to have the kids understand, that they're not alone in their deployment.
And Captain, if an educator at a school wants to get a hold of the Military Kids Toolkit, go to the training. Information is available at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Correct.
But, Captain, if an educator wants to participate in the Military Kids Toolkit, when and how do they do it at the schools?
What we have been doing is we have been contacting each of the independent school districts at our level to let them know that this resource is available. One thing that we were able to receive from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, the organization, was a breakdown roughly of where the disbursement of the military-connected youth are throughout the state. So a lot of times the schools and the educators won't even realize that they have military-connected youth in their school, because Minnesota is predominantly a reserve component state, meaning that we're either in the National Guard or the reserves. So the majority of the service members in Minnesota only serve on the weekends. So during the week, their parent maintains a typical job like any other civilian would within the state. So a lot of times the students won't even necessarily identify themselves as military connected until a parent has deployed or something has happened that would cause the parent to be away for a prolonged period of time or even during an annual period training. So a lot of times the issue comes into identifying that the child is a military-connected child, and then also letting them know that there are resources available in case they need a little additional assistance. You know, some of the resources would be like tutor.com if they just need some help with homework, or if they just have a simple life skill that they would like a little help with, we have Military OneSource for that. So there's a variety of resources that are available that people simply don't know are available to them.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Military Kids Toolkit. We've been speaking with Captain Marion Blinsky and Laura Grenewig from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking with Captain Marion Blinsky and Laura Grenewig about the Military Kids Toolkit, which can be found on the beyondtheyellowribbon.org's website. Captain, just to refresh our listeners, the Military Kids Toolkit, what is it again?
It is actually 2 parts. It is a collection of resources that we call the Educator Guide, and that gives parents, educators, and children a list of resources that they can utilize if they have any unique needs that come up. And then the second part of the toolkit is the curriculum. So there's a series of 6 lessons that can be worked with from the educators for the children to open the door to communication.
And Laura, can you tell us about that curriculum a little bit, those 6 items?
Sure, yeah. The curriculum covers deployment-related topics such as the changing family roles the youth experience when a parent deploys, so the different roles that they have to fulfill in their family to make sure things continue to run smoothly. They also talk about how to deal with stress and of having their parent be deployed for a year, and then also return. So oftentimes people don't even think that that is a stressful time for a family. They think, oh, the soldier is home, so that family must be fine. But that family has to go through the reintegration process of bringing that family member all the way home into their family and reincorporating them into their daily schedule.
So first they have to learn how to live without them when they're gone.
Exactly.
And then when they come back, they have to reacquaint with each other and mm-hmm. reintegrate into the family life again.
Absolutely. So like a dad might leave for deployment with a 15-year-old son or daughter and then come home to a 16-year-old son or daughter who's driving a car. And that soldier then has to be comfortable and allow that child to those freedoms that they had when they were gone. And sometimes that might be difficult.
And maybe not listen to dad anymore because mom's been given the direction for
the master. Exactly. Given the marching orders.
Marching orders. Here we go.
So the lessons also cover coping mechanisms. So trying to figure out effective ways of dealing with their stress and effective ways of communicating that within their family unit. So they're just not doing a typical screaming match. So they're actually coping effectively and communicating effectively. That's another topic that they cover. And then also the power of positive thoughts and thinking positively versus the negative thoughts that sometimes can cloud your mind. And then ultimately the biggest goal of these topics is fostering that resilience in the youth and just really focusing on the strengths of the youth and building upon that.
And helping them understand that they can deal with this, they can learn from it, they can move on.
Exactly. And know who that they can talk to in their lives so that they feel supported and that they don't feel alone out there.
And Captain, we've said that the information on the Military Kids Toolkit is available at beyondtheyellowribbon.org, but can you tell us, how have you been reaching out to the schools?
Laura and her co-worker, Kirsten, have been calling the independent school districts to get the word out at the district level to ensure that they are aware that this resource is available. And we've currently reached around 140 school districts. For the state of Minnesota, we have 334 independent school districts throughout the state, so we're at about 42%. So right now, we're also trying to work this through our family channels, such as our FRG groups, because we also realize that parents are truly the best advocate for their children. So whenever we hear of a parent that is like, oh, this is something I'd really like to have at my school, all we need is the information from the school counselor, school guidance counselor, school social worker, whomever, and we can make sure that this resource gets into their schools.
And, of course, we learned last year when the 2,700 Red Bulls came back from Kuwait, they were from every county in Minnesota and from over 500 communities.
That's correct. So one of the things with this toolkit is it is a virtual resource because Minnesota is so geographically dispersed that we wanted to ensure that everybody, regardless of where they lived in the state, had access to it. So we do keep it housed on beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and that's how it's accessed. And then once it's requested, we can email out the toolkit itself, so then they will have the resources at their fingertips online.
Are there many schools using it now?
We currently have 90 schools who have requested the curriculum, and that 140 are the ones who have that educator's guide, where it gives them the list of resources to assist with any special needs that would come up.
And Laura, you said there was a training program for educators coming up?
Yes, there is a training called Military Child Education Coalition, and there's a group of professionals who come to our state, and they train educators during a 2-free-day conference, February 27th and the 28th, at the Marriott Northwest Hotel in Minneapolis. And this training educates youth professionals on the unique needs of military-connected youth and how to support them.
And information on that training course is available where?
At our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
We're speaking with Captain Marion Blinsky and Laura Grenewig from the deployment or Beyond the Yellow Ribbon on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, for those educators out there listening to the show that might want to get information on this, what's the best way for them to get in contact?
The best way for them to get in contact would be to access the information on the website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And all of the documentation that we have on that website has our phone numbers and email addresses on it, so they can certainly contact us through that medium as well.
I'm curious, if you've got a number of school districts using this, have you got some anecdotal evidence that it's helping the students and the military children?
Yes, we have talked with some of the military parents, and one mother shared with us that her children were the only ones at their particular school that went through the toolkit, and what it did for their family is that it really helped to open up the doors to communication at the home. So the kids were able to express to the parents, you know, with dad being gone, in this situation it was a father that was gone, so the mother was basically single parenting, they're like, you're a lot meaner. And so they could open up the communication to, so the children felt safe to go to the mom and be like, you know, your patients aren't as much as they were when dad was here. So they could talk about that and see if there were different ways that they could address situations.
So are these lessons, are these curriculum available at home so the parents can see them too?
We have had a few parents request it. We haven't received any feedback on how it was used and the effectiveness from parents, but we have received the feedback from the educators specifically. And the mother who I was talking to before, we were at a meeting together, and she was the one who knew that it was my office who had developed it. So she was telling me her experience with it. So that's how I found out about this particular mother, as we were attending the same meeting.
Laura, it sounds like, as usual, Minnesota's leading the nation, reaching out to try to help military youth. Any final thoughts about the Minnesota Military or Kids Toolkit?
We just really encourage any counselor, educator to access the curriculum. It is available to them. It is free to them. It is online, and it is out there to support our military-connected youth.
And, Captain, just a couple minutes left. If you got any final thoughts for anyone listening out there that might want to take advantage of the Military Kids Toolkit.
For final thoughts, I would just encourage them to go to that Yellow Ribbon website and just get familiar with it, because there are a lot of resources out there that we cannot even cover in the time allotted. Every time I go in there, I see new resources, especially with, and we try to keep them updated with everything, with the changing seasons, because I know right now we're working on getting the tax information out, so for people who need to get their taxes done. So it is continuously being updated, so I would encourage you just to log in, see what's available, and certainly go under the family and wellness. That's where we're at.
Ladies, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Captain Marion Belinsky and Laura Grenewig from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon talking about the Military Kids Toolkit. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Joe Dugan, Captain Marion Belinsky, Laura Grenewig, Commissioner Larry Shelliteau, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear about the latest deployment of the Minnesota National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing and discover the contributions being made today by our Vietnam veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.